And
Okay.
we just had
How
Nate's for dinner.
was
Oh, it was very
it?
good. It's very good. Very, oh, it's a lot. We got a big, massive hamburger. I mean, it's like packed with this big, more than I can possibly eat. I'm done eating for the week. We're ready for Pesach. Just fast until that. So the food was very good. Okay.
Awesome. This
So
put
we
it
are still in Mishlei Perek Tet Zayin, which I'm having far too much fun with. And so last time we talked about the sweetness of Torah, right? Meir Soloveitchik, but what that means, and about how it's that sweetness that brings life, and we have to bring art and try to kind of appeal to our emotional side to learn from it. And it ended with the pasuk here of Tufdavash on this side over here. Tufdavash, you may know him. The pleasant words are like the drippings of honey. Oh, matok le-nefesh, sweet for the soul. Umar penel and healing the body. And we spent a lot of time this entire perek dealing with what Shlomo calls Mesilat Yesharim, the path of the just. This is the way you're supposed to go through life. This is where the Musar Sefer gets its name from. This is this pasuk Yud Zayin in this perek, Mesilat Yesharim, Sur Meirah, the path of the just is to avoid evil, Shomer Nafsho, Notzer Darko, someone who wants to guard their life, stay alive, be careful about where they go, watches their direction. And the way it's been presented so far, it looks easy, do the right thing, and everything will be perfect. Problem is, it's not so easy to know what direction, what path to take in life. So we have this big sign, wrong way, do not enter. How do we know which way is not to go? That's the question. So Shlomo continues. Yesh derech yashar lifnei ish. There is a way that looks straight for a person. Vacharita, and the end of it, derech mavet, is the way to death. Nefesh amal amalo. Every person does its own work. Ki achafala pihu, for his mouth, his needs force him to keep going. And this idea that there's a derech yashar that still is achrita derech mavet, there's a way that looks straight but still ends up in death, is a famous metaphor in the Gemara and Gemara Reuven, the longer, shorter way. You've heard that expression. This is the Gemara says, "Pamachar ma'alech." I remember who's saying this. There was once I was walking along the way, "Ra'iti tinok yoshev al prashat drachim." I saw a kid on at a fork in the road. Amartilo, so I asked him, "Be'ezeh derech nelech le'ir?" Which is the way to get to the city? Amarli, he told me, "Zuk tzara baruchah." This way is short, but it's long. "Zu arucha uktzara." This other way is long, but it's shorter. So halachti b'ketzara v'arukah. It went the way that he said was shorter, but longer. Kivan shegat to the year, and I've got all the way. I see the city in front of me. Matzati shemakifin otah ganot u'pardesim. I saw that the road stopped, and there were all these gardens and orchards outside the city. There was no way to get through. Choice chazarti l'charai. I went back. So I said to the kid who's still hanging out at this crossroads, "Bini, my son, hello, Amarti li k'tzara. Did you tell me this is the shortest way?" Amar li, so he told me, "Loi Amarti lach arukah. Did I say it was the short way, but it's really long?" Mashakti rosho. So I kissed him on his head, Amarti lo, and I told him, "Ashrechim Yisrael, happy you are of Israel. Shekulchem chachamim gedolim atem, that you're also smart. Migdolachem ad ketanchem, from your adults down to your children." You realize that there's a way of saying that this look, it may, something may look like a shortcut, but it'll take far longer. But how do you know where to go? You come to forks in the road. That's what life is. It's all about making choices. And we have no idea where the path ends up. It's hard to know even what the goal is. You don't know which road is going to get us there. There's a poem by a poet from, this is from the 1960s, called Donald Justice. This is the name of the poet, called Men at 40. Have you heard this? I've quoted this. kind of sad. Those of us who are older than 40 have already seen this. But men in 40 learn to close softly the doors to rooms that they will not be coming back to. A lot of choices we make in life. How do you know which one you direct? Which door do you go through? Which one do you just close and move on? So that's the Gra puts it on our an Arab pasuk here. There's a way that looks straight. Aval hasitra achra, the other side, the dark side. Gamhi also looks like the right way to go. That this is the straight way to go. You have the Sharim, and we have this derech yishara. Aval achriteha darchei mavet, but that ended up in death. Jesha harbei drachim plama mavet. There are many ways that end up in death. Kind of like reading the Pick Your Own Adventure books. Remember those? You ever read that, where you have it had one page of text, and then you pick, if you decide to go with the stranger, turn to page 32. If you ignore him and go the other way, then turn to page 12, and you go through the whole thing. And most of the ones end up with you dying terribly, but one of them ends up where you find the adventure in the end.
But Danny, you could say that about everything because everybody ends and no one lives forever.
That's true. So Mubbin here is mature, end up in a bad place. Right. Truly, you're right. So if you want to be cynical, every single path we take ends in death. That's kind of a downer. You keep trying, right? You want to find the best way. Let's put it that way. What's the one that ends up with us being happy, the world being a better place? How do we do that? And we're all driven, as he says, from this nefesh amal umlalo, right? Everyone keeps working. We keep trying because we have needs that we strive to meet. You can't just stand still. You can't just wait at the crossroads and let things happen. Rashi says here, right? Nefesh amal umlalo, tzarcho umlalo. Person are working for their own needs, as it says in Yov, famous pasuk, ki adam la amal yulad. Person is born to toil, to work. We've all got to do things. Why do I say this? Try to translate that. The way sparks rise and fly. We always are trying to move higher. We're in Kohelet, same kind of puzzle. Kol amal adam lefihu. Everything we do is lefihu, is this expression for our mouth, for the things that we need, for our hunger. And we're never satisfied. We always have more needs. So the Shlomo says in our pasuk, ki akaf ala pihu, and akaf is lakof is to force, that our, as he said, that we're forced to keep working, keep trying, keep doing something. Can't just sit. The problem is that this path of life is different from other tasks we face. Because, as he said, we don't have control over the destination. Kind of know where it's going to end. The only thing that matters is the journey. So we're all amelim. And this is an article from OU Torah talking about that amel, that toil we do, is one of the few times where it's the effort that you put in that counts. It's not the ultimate result, because we don't control the ultimate result. He says when we make a siyum, we say, Anum amalim vehem amalim. We work and they work. Anum amalim, they, non-Jews, people have other priorities, work, umakablim sakhar, and they get rewarded. Vehem amalim, they work and toil, but umakablim sakhar, and don't get rewarded. The Chafetz Chaim asks, how can we say they toil and not earn a reward? Non-Jew certainly does get paid for his work. The answer is he gets paid for results, not effort. Even if someone who gets paid by the hour will only have a job if he produces favorable results. It's not about effort or difficulty, it's about the result. And there's a famous culture deck that was published by the founder of Netflix, that when that was in up and coming internet startup that like destroyed Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster? I don't remember. Right, Netflix just started and just wiped out all those video places there. And that was his vision of corporate culture, is that you got to keep doing, got to keep achieving. And he explicitly said that efforts didn't matter, results do. And this is what I've, this is his comment, that hard work is not relevant. We don't measure people by how many hours they work or how much time they have in the office. We care about accomplishing great work. Sustained B performance, despite A for effort, generates a generous severance package with respect. You got it. Sustained A performance, despite minimum effort, is rewarded with more responsibility and great pay. That's working at Netflix. In ethical matters, you can't do that because you don't know how things are going to work out. You have no idea what the results of your actions are going to be. You have no idea what you've accomplished. So the only metric you have is the effort. So that's the idea we talk about virtue ethics. Be a good person. Do good things. And that's all that's asked of you. And that's the essence of the permission Perkei Avot from Antigonos Isochel. We Omer would say, Al tiyu kavadim shamashamshim et harav al manat lekabel pras. Don't be like a servant who works in order to get the reward. That you've got a goal in mind, you're going to do this. Like you, Kavadim, would be like those who serve. Shalom,
No.
you're not there for a specific goal. Just have the fear of heaven, and that includes spiritual rewards. Right? You're not doing all the mitzvot because you want to be close to Hashem. That's just as bad. Leaves in a bad place. Rav Volba in Alei Shur has a famous essay on the dangers of what he calls frumkeit, being frum. It's not a good thing. So the frumkeit is the idea I'm going to be religious just because I am. I'm going to be close to Hashem. So it's davka zuhagisha shel frumkeit. This is the outlook of the approach of frumkeit. Mashesh tamid b'dofek rufani. Constantly feel this religious pressure. Imu batzav shel rov shel. Kiruv, I think. Shall Kiruv. To know whether someone's you're closer or further from Hashem. Trying to get close to Hashem. Says that doesn't work. This is what his Rebbe, who was Ruchma Lubavitch, the Mashgiach of Mir, would said, Raklo tafesa shamayim. You shouldn't be seeking heaven. That's not your job. Ala karka tzerech lamod. You need to stay on the ground. V'achayoti b'ma'asim. And life is all about actions, deeds. Be a good person. So with that, the next psukim give ways that you can go wrong. How do you know what you're in the wrong? You're going down the wrong path. Right path is a misdat and what counts as the derech sarab arucha, the one that is looks short but actually is long. And he gives three psukim. There are three psukim here, and they are the ish blial, the ish tapachot, and the ish chamas. And they will lead down the wrong path, like the path to the dark side in Star Wars. Now, I'm the only person who gets Star Wars jokes here, right? No one remembers that. Okay, this is from movie number one, Phantom Menace, right? Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. That's the dark side in Star Wars. There's a different bunch of dark sides here in Mishlei. You have the Ish Belial. Wanton, the unmoored person, karara, digs up evil. Vasvatav, and on his lips, ke'esh tzarevet, is like a burning fire. Ish tapuchot, someone which the JPS translates this as a shifty person. Yishalach madon, increases strife, increases arguments. The nagan, if someone complains, mafrit aluf, separates themselves from the leaders. Ish Hamas, person of violence, Yifatera Ehu, will entice their colleagues, Holy Chob, B'derech Tov, and guide him on the wrong way. And for all of that, Atze'einav L'chashev Tavuchot, close their eyes and think about being perverse, switching things around, Tavuchot, inverting. Karat Svatav, purse the lips, Kalara'ah, in order to express evil. And the thing about a blial or tapachot or chamas seem like bad things. They're unquestionably bad. So why is this something that you'd be afraid that's derech yashar l'fnei ish? It looks like it's the right way to go. Why would you think these are good things? So the Gruff interprets them, says that there are three ways of trying to be ethical, but that go very badly wrong. And look at those three ways. The ish blial. So blial is a term we've seen before. Like B'nai Eli are called B'nai
Those were the children of Eli and
of Eli, right? The Kohanim who would push their way ahead and go steal all the carbon for themselves, or someone who leads you in Irani Dachet astray is called Ish Blial, or someone who refuses to loan money because, well, Shemitah's coming, I won't get it back. That's a Blial. Literally, Blial, without a yoke, uncontrolled, doesn't have any limits. And we've seen it before in Perek Vav, and they are clearly referred to the idea of the Nietzschean power-oriented ethics, right? You do what you want to do. You have to be, as a will to power, that's ethics. That's a quote of the Peloponnesian War when the Athenians said to, forget who, that you know as well as we do that right as the world goes only in question between equals and power. The strong do what they can, and the weak suffer what they must. That's your ethics. But here the Gra says, now that's what we're going to call the Ish Chamas later on, but the Belial means without Belial, without any kind of yoke, without kind of limits, they're unmoored to Yirat Hashem specifically. Again, this is the Gra. It says the pasuk is Ish Belial Kore Ra'ah, the unmoored person digs up evil. And his lips are scorching fire. Lomar, ha'ish ha'ne'edar me'irat Hashem. Someone who is lacking in fear of God. Nikra Belial is called without a yoke. Nothing holding him down. Lomar Belial should correct ra'at hamin, and they're always digging up evil. And Belial here is not they have no sense of right or wrong. They're ethical. It's not anchored in Yirat Hashem. As Dostoevsky says in the Brothers Karamazov, if there's no God, then all is permitted. You need that solid basis for ethics. That's the way Kohelet ends as well. Tov Devar Kol Nishma, at the end, this is what it all comes down to. Etel Kim Yirei, fear God, that mitzvah Shemar, and keep his commandments. Gizek Kol Adam. This is everything that a human being is about. That the ethics of philosophers sounds good, and you can't point to anything there that says, okay, that's just wrong. But it leads you down a very bad path. It inevitably leads to what we call the repugnant conclusion. You take ethics and you go logically one step to the next, you end at a point that is clearly immoral. For ethics, that's not grounded in some sense of the absolute, that you're at the camp, it's Belial, without limits, because the human mind is too limited to figure everything out. We've quoted this cartoon before that deontology, ethics based on rules says you should be moral by intuiting the coherent set of moral laws for the entire universe. And utilitarianism, or consequentialism, says you should constantly sum for maximal total happiness over the space of all possible actions for everyone. You can't do that. You can't figure that out. So that's the problem with the Ish Belial. It always sounds good, but it ends up in a bad place. And then there's the Ish Tapuchot, which you call, which the JPS translation, someone's shifty, someone's changing opinions back and forth. Gras says that the tapuchot here, the changing all the time, switching from one thing to another, is not because he's trying to be sneaky, but because he's trying to be good, he's trying to make everyone happy. And this is the Gras. Umisha shmo ish tapuchot. Someone who changes what they think, what they say, l'chol ish v'ish, for every other person. To do what that person wants. That actually doesn't make things better. It increases strife. It increases arguments. That says one thing to one person, and says something else to their, someone else. So they all end up arguing with each other. This is all because this person is making things worse. Each tapucho is trying to avoid choices. Go down both paths at once. Don't close any doors. But that causes strife as much as the Nargan. Each tapuchot yishalach madon, the constantly changing, the inconstant person, it will stir up strife. But Nargan, just like the Nargan, which is someone who argues, and this is Tuatzion translate inyan tluna, complaining, as it says in the end of Devarim, oleichem, that at the time of the sending of spies, Bnei Yisrael were terugna. They're just complaining. And there's a famous story. This is an old joke. This is Jack Abramowitz's version of it. That two people are fighting. They couldn't agree agreement. They took the case to the local rabbi. The rabbi heard the first litigant's case, nodded his head, and said, "You're right." The second litigant then stated his case. The rabbi heard him out and nodded again and said, "You're also right." The rabbi's attendant, who had been staying by this whole time, was justifiably confused. "But Rebbe, yes. How can they both be right?" Rabbi thought about this for a moment before responding, "You're right too." That doesn't help. You have to have some standards. That's the Ish Tapuchot. That's the problem there. And then the Ish Hamas is this Nietzschean Superman, right? The I have power, I am to do what's right. Convinced that everything he does is right because it's necessary. We have to make the world a better place, and we're going to do it. We have to do what has to be done, whatever the price is, it has to be paid. And that's the grush, or so no. L'gzol v'chamos mamam take from others, hu mefato techila. But the pasuk says, ish chamas yifater re'eu, will entice the other, right? You make it sound good. This is a positive thing. Gordon Gekko in Wall Street, right? Greed is good. And he's not wrong. But holy chol, but ends up going in a bad direction. And this is the idea of this Ish Hamas. This is from Scott Alexander's summary of Nietzsche's idea. In the beginning, says Nietzsche, the word good was synonymous with noble, the virtue that made nobility better than the serfs they ruled. This is way back in the Bronze Age. Your model for noble should be Achilles, Agamemnon, etc. The excellent noble delights in being strong, healthy, and virile. He lives in a beautiful palace, wears shining golden armor. Cultured, sophisticated, and brilliant. He's great at everything he does and harbors ambitions to become even greater. He can conquer a kingdom or two. He's powerful, skillful, and awe-inspiring. And this what Nietzsche calls slave morality. The idea that the weak matter. Slave morality says that strong are tyrants, the rich are greedy, and the ambitious are puffed up braggarts. The wisest man who admits he knows nothing, the strongest man who heals conquers his own desires, right? That's a quote from Perkei Avot. Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, and so on. God loves the humble, the soil of the earth. The worst thing you can do is try to pridefully rise above your fellows. The best thing you can do is to lessen yourself. That's what Nietzsche calls the slave morality. That's bad. Nietzsche speculates the slave morality originated with the Jews, and especially downtrodden and persecuted race. And he's right. That's what we call ethics. You're not there to conquer others. But it's very seductive, right? It's ish chamas yifateh re'ehu. This is the way he puts it. I want to help other people in order to exalt and glorify civilization. I want to exalt and glorify civilization so it can make people happy. I want them to be happy so they can be strong. I want them to be strong so they can exalt and glorify civilization. I want to exalt and glorify civilization in order to help other people. I need to be this hero. I want to create great art to make other people happy. I want them to be happy so they can be strong. I want them to be strong so they can exalt and glorify civilization. I want to exalt and glorify civilization so it can create more great art. I want to have children so they can be happy. I want to be happy so they can be strong. I want them to be strong so they can raise more children. I want them to raise more children so they can exalt and glorify civilization. I want to exalt and glorify civilization so it can help more people. Help people so they can have more children. I want to have children so they can be happy. And it sounds like a wonderful thing. But it's all e ethics is egoism. Thinking of others as tools rather than of independent and having independent worth, having infinite worth. That's the problem with the Ish Hamas. And it ends up with Halicha b'derech lo tov. You can start out with aggressive intentions, but moving down that path, you end up being a tyrant. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so Shlomo concludes with this pasuk of Otze Einav Lachshov Tapuchot. They close their eyes to think of these perversions of the Mishpat Yesharim. Karetzvata, purse the lips, and it's all evil. Such a person, or any of these people, are thinking with their eyes closed. They're not looking to where they should be going. And with this metaphor of the path of life, the Mesilah, you need to see where you're going. We've looked at the pasuk in Perek Vav, when it said, Kiner mitzvah, the mitzvah is like a candle, the Torah or a Torah is like a light or a torch, but derech hachayim, and the way of life is tuchot musar, the rebuke that comes from musar, from discipline. Musar in the sense that we're using of the ethics that Mishlei is teaching us. And the Gemara expands this metaphor. Mashal Adam is a metaphor for a person, she'el malech bi'ishon laila v'afela, who's walking in the darkness down a path. He's afraid of thorns, he's afraid of falling into a pit. Barkanim, and from Barkanim usually translates thistles. He's afraid of wild animals, and from muggers. There's no idea which way to go. You're in the pitch dark. Avukat shel or, since you get a light, a torch. So now you're not worried about the obstacles along the way, the thorns and thistles, the pits in the road. You can see where you're going. But a flashlight gives you a very limited area of vision. So you're still afraid of the wild animals that's just past the light. Or the muggers, the robbers who could still be out there. He still has no idea where he's going. You can just see very locally. So that's one mitzvah. And then Torah, or having the entire Torah, is like Kivan Sha'Allah Amud HaShachar, that it's dawn. Now you can see all around you. You tell Mechara, now you're not so worried about wild animals, you're not so worried about the muggers anymore. You can see much further than way than you could with your flashlight. It's daytime. But you still don't know where to go. You can come to a fork in the road, you still know which way to go. You get to a crossroads that's got a street, a sign on it, that's a tochel musar. That having the rules of ethics that we're presenting here, Yisamu Kulam, you're safe, you know where to go, you don't have to worry about the robbers and the pitfalls along the way. So that tochel musar is like the signpost. You have to be able to figure out ethics on your own. That's what the Torah and Musar and the Mesorah is there for. That is the Parashat Derachim, the signpost and the forks of road and Derech HaChayim. And that's what we said before. That the Mesorah is Shomer Nafsho Yotzer. That the thing that will save your life is keeping track of where you're going. And we'll stop here. And I will.
Danny, I just wanted to raise something related to what you talked about in Pesach. You know, there's this pasuk in the Haggadah that talks about the Mitzrim Hiriya Otanu.
Yes.
And a lot of people translate, or the Maxwell House translated, that they embittered our lives.
Right.
But somebody else whose Hebrew was better said, Hiriya Otanu made us look bad. They talked about how we're going to take over, we're going to attack them, we're going to do this or that. They made us look bad.
Made us the villains.
You
That
didn't
is
hear that. That
on your
sounds
book.
so familiar.
I don't know. I've definitely heard that. Where was that from?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I got it at a Hain Seder, but
I heard that somewhere recently.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, have a good Chag with all your family.
Another
Enjoy. Hope you're
Here.
cooking already. Did you get your kitchen done yet?
Our kitchen is half done and we have been cooking. I got four kugels, we got three half steamer trays of brisket, we got two of chicken, we got the meatballs. Yeah, we're starting.
I mean,
We got
once you start, you can see the end, but if you don't start,
no, there's no end in sight. Just keep
never.
cooking until it's there. We got four. I bought a gross of hard-boiled eggs.
Wow.
Pure
What's a
pecan.
gross? What does that mean?
12 dozen.
Wow.
We shared it with other people. So we're going to have 4 dozen pre-peeled hard-boiled eggs because that's just a pain.
That's a
Gordon
brilliant
Foods.
idea. Where do you get buy that?
Gordon Foods down on Tesson Ferry has OUP hard-boiled eggs. And we got 15 dozen eggs besides that.
Where did
Right.
you, where is this? Gordon Foods?
Gordon Foods, Gordon.
Okay.
In
Wow. Thank you for
case
the tip.
you need a gross of eggs.
Yeah,
Okay, definitely gonna
that's a lot.
stop. I guess I'll record it. We already got this.